And we're ready to blow the trumpet on the memorial of blowing the trumpets. Go right ahead. Wow! Very good! That was very good. That was Sister Jacqueline with her 28-year-old lungs, which makes things a lot easier. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahacha B'Mashiach. Just a little piece of the Israel of God around the world, and I wish we could meet some more of them. Today's topic, obviously, is Zichron Yom Teruah. It's the blast, you know, the memorial of the trumpets, the sounding blast. So we're going to pray, and this is a rehearsal of the second and final coming one day of Yeshua in someone's lifetime in the future. That trumpet is going to get your attention if you happen to be alive at that time. Actually, it's going to wake the dead. It's going to be really loud. But anyway, let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint today. Heavenly Father, we come to you as kings and priests. First, we always ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish that allows us to enter right to the Father, right into the Holy of Holies. I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. I thank God for the gift of salvation through his body that was broken and for his shed blood on the tree. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this Shabbat. Bless this holy convocation. I pray that you'll give us true brothers and sisters. Bring them to us. We always pray that you'll take away anything that's wrong away from us and only fill us with the truth, Lord and God. Lead, guide, and direct us in everything we do, say, think, and act. Bless the study today. Let it be fruitful to the edifying of the body and to the glory of the living God. And may God touch you today, heal you, and strengthen you. God is the great physician. He sees every one of us. He knows exactly what we need. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this day, this rehearsal of the blowing of trumpets on this Rosh Chodesh Ha'etanim, the seventh month of God, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, here it is in Psalm 47. God has gone up with a shout. Yehovah, with the sound of a trumpet. There it is right there. Elah Elohim. Teruah. Yehovah. Bekol Shofar. So there's the voice of the shofar that you actually, it's different. And here it is. Today is October 3rd, 2016. Unfortunately, all I see is people getting ready for Oktoberfest here in Hohenlohe and also Halloween. Not too many people know about today's a holy day, even though it's the third day of the, it's supposed to be the eighth month, but today it's the 10th month in the Gregorian calendar, which is ridiculous. Anyway, Yehovah has his own calendar and it's Rosh Chodesh, it's the Rosh Chodesh right now. It's the seventh month of God, first day. And I really enjoy that. It's part of the October and November in the Gregorian calendar. Here's the dates that will be left after today. You probably have these written down already, right? You can always write them down again, right? Always remember, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, God says, neither shall you diminish aught from it, aught, that you may keep the commandments of Yehovah your God which I command you. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto or diminish from it. And Proverbs says, add thou not unto his words in fear that, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. And we know no liars are going to make it to heaven, right? Right? So, if I don't know, the church people, they don't probably, I shouldn't say the church people, the people out there in the Protestant pseudo-Christian world, they don't know these verses in Judaism because they've written so many different books that added and diminished from the word, and that's why there's so much confusion. The name Ha'etanim has been deleted from the world. I don't hear hardly anyone say that. The Gregorian calendar calls it October. Judaism and some Messianics call it Tishri. Here's what's missing. God calls it Ha'etanim. And there's the, this is backwards. I don't know how that happened. That's the Ha, and that's the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and that's the Neem, right? So we should cut that off, and I don't know how we're going to paste it, but I don't know. That's not going to work. It's right on my website, but yeah, it's right on my website. Anyway, the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, that's what God is. And I'll give you some verses to show you where it says this. Isaiah 41:4 says, "Who had wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yehovah, the first and with the last, I am He." That's a plurality of God right there. This one's good right here. I love this one. Isaiah 44:6, it says, "Thus saith Yehovah, the King of Israel and His Redeemer." Sounds like he's talking like about somebody else, doesn't it? That's a plurality of God. "And His Redeemer, Yehovah of hosts." Host is the armies that are in, that follow Him. "I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there's no God." So that always gives me the feeling that, you know, wherever God's domain is outside the universe, because the universe is something He made, you know, heaven and the heaven of heavens can't contain Him. So He's somewhere we can't imagine, but He even scanned out wherever He's at, and there's no other God. He says, "Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am He." You're always going to read this, and when you see Yeshua says that all the time, He goes, "I am He." He means, "I am He," the one in the Tanakh. And He says right here, "I am He, I am the first, and all I am also the last." And of course, Revelation, John quotes Yeshua, and he says, "Behold," here's how you know He's coming. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in the secret chambers. He's not in the third temple. He comes with clouds. He comes with clouds, and every eye is going to see Him. That always gives me the feeling He's coming back as the universe. No matter where you are, you're going to see Him. It's going to be frightening. I don't want to be here that day. It says, "And they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of Him. Even so, amen." In other words, He's coming back with a rod of iron to take vengeance. He's not coming back with the bag of ice cream cones and, you know, snow cones, and He's coming back. It's going to be a day of darkness and gloominess. And in the Greek it says, or whatever language you're speaking, He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith Yehovah, the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, El Shaddai, amen. I love that. So no matter what language you speak, whether you're speaking Greek, English, Hebrew, Chinese, whatever, He's still the first and the last. John says, "I was in the Spirit on Jehovah's Day, and I heard behind me a great sound as of a trumpet." And what did it say? "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the Aleph and the Tav," right? Yeah. Revelation again, 2:18. "And the angel of the church in Smyrna write, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things say at the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Revelation 22:13. "I am Alpha and Omega, the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gates into the city." We just showed this to a lady the other day, and she was confounded because her Bible said, "Just go wash your robes." So all you have to do is go to the laundromat, and you're all right. See how the Bible versions are really adding and diminishing from the Word of God. So the Alpha and the Omega, the first and is Alpha and the Omega, by the way, is the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, in case you didn't know that. And here it is right here, which turned out backwards again. It should be Ha, Aleph, and Tav, Neem. Ha'et and Neem, okay? And what that means is enduring. Here it is right here. Ha'et and Neem. It means enduring the permanent brooks, It's talking about water. And there it is right there, in case you don't know what the ha in Hebrew is, the definite article. It means the. Sometimes it means but, you know, this in this case, what's the definite article? We have the Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the Tav, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the Neem, right? Which is the permanent brooks. And Ha'et the Neem always has the definite article, just like Ha'aviv does, which is the first month. And there's the Eighth Neem, it's the seventh month, corresponding to September, October, and November. What it means, I like this part because it says it's the permanent streams, water still flows. And that's the plural of this word, etam, which means perpetual, constant, perennial, ever-flowing, ever. So this has to do with water also. And it's so beautiful because it makes me always want to ask, are you ready for the enduring, permanent, perpetual fountain of living waters? And of course, Yeshua says, Mayim Chaim. And Brother Zach likes that. He wrote a song about that. And unfortunately, in these verses, the book of Jeremiah makes me sad when I read it. Because God says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns. You know, that broken cisterns useless, that can hold no water. Jeremiah 17:13 says, Yehovah, the hope of Israel, all that forsake you shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yehovah, the fountain of living waters. So this word Ha'etanim, even though it's deleted from the world, I bring it into focus because that's exactly what it means. You know, the Ha, the Aleph and the Tav, and the Neem is all the water flowing perpetually. Most people have never heard of Ha'etanim before they met us. I'm serious, it's weird. They are brainwashed by Judaism and some Messianics to say Tishri, which is nowhere in Scripture. But if you just go to your Bible, 1 Kings 8:2, you should memorize that. Quiz people, say, what's the name of God's seventh month? And you'll say, most of them are going to say Tishri, or you know, whatever. But right here it says, in the English it says, Eighth the name. We put the Ha there because that's what's in the Hebrew, right there. Right there. Which is the seventh month. Chodesh HaShevi'i, right? So it doesn't say it's the beginning of the year. It doesn't say it's Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say it's Adam's birthday. It's not the creation of the world. And this is all the things that are going on the internet. But they say it, you know, of course, with a more dignified uniform kind of look. And maybe more whatever you want to say. And they deceive the masses. Have you seen those words on the internet? Rosh Hashanah and all that stuff? The word Rosh in Hebrew is head, and Hashanah means the year. So it's the head of the year, or New Year, Happy New Year. And it doesn't say that, but it does say that in Exodus 12:2. Yeah? And the Sabbath is a Mikra Kodesh. That's why we're here today. Everyone should know that by now. You guys all know that. But for the people that are new, a mikra is different than a mikvah, which is the water. But this is a mikra, which is a convoking, a calling together. It's a public meeting. We try to tell that to some people today, but they want to study alone. The devil always wants to get people to study alone. Don't go to anybody that's more schooled than you. Stay by yourself. Let's see. How many wolves would love that if the sheep went out there by themselves?
I love it. Much.
Little sheep going out there. Who comes when the little sheep is bouncing around?
The wolf.
The wolf, yeah. And he comes in sheep's clothing, right, to trick you. And that Kodesh, which is really unpopular, holy is out of style. Forget that. Set apart to the God of Israel, sacredness, you know, dedicated, hallowed. And, of course, that right there kills everybody. I don't know why. I would have thought people would enjoy no work.
Yeah.
I got a thumbs up there. But God has to command us. No, lo, you know, tasu, you know, melechet avodah. Don't do it. And there it is. That's no public and domestic work of any kind. And we had to tell this to a man this morning because he kept thinking it was the feast of the Jews. And I kept saying, but Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of Jehovah, which we're proclaiming to be holy convocations. These are God's feasts, not Moses' feasts. They're not the Jews' feasts. They're not David's feasts. They're not our feasts. They're God's feasts that we're rehearsing. And then he goes right after the Sabbath. 6 days' work shall be done, but the 7 days is Sabbath of rest. Shabbat, Shabbaton. He always throws the Sabbath in. Anywhere God can, he throws that in. A holy convocation. Don't do any work. It's the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwelling. So, again, if you are in an unholy dwelling, I recommend two things. Either you leave for the Sabbath, or you have them leave. One or the other, because if you stay there, they're going to get you to break the Sabbath sooner or later by getting to, you'll get into some argument or some kind of crazy deal will happen or something. And these are the feast of who? The Jews?
Yeah,
the feast of Jehovah. Even holy convocations, which we proclaim in their seasons. And we're proclaiming it in God's season. And I was telling my wife this morning again, I still don't get it. People are still doing this, like today, the Zichron Yom Teruah, Memorial Blowing Trumpets, on the blacked out moon. When I gave scriptural proof that God made two lights, and the two lights are for signs, seasons, days, and years. He didn't say the darkness was for any sign, season, days, and years. And the lesser light, we have to see the little crescent of the lesser light. I mean, people can't even use that thing on their head for more than a hat rack, but you have to use it for the brain inside your head and start thinking, if you were in the wilderness, okay, with the children of Israel and it's pitch black, and you know that you're keeping track by making marks, however they kept track back then, every 29 or 30 days, it's going to be the new moon. So as soon as you see that little crescent, you'd go, hey, it's the new moon. It's another month of God. But people can't think of that because if you're in the black, believe me, I know how it feels to be in the darkness. And when it's blackout and you look up and go, there's the new moon and there's nothing there. And then it's blacked out for 2 days. And I can't understand why people can't use that brain that the God gave them instead of copying websites and copying other people. Just use the scripture. Anyway. So there's a lot of people that even come in our room on the Sabbath. Today they're doing the memorial of blowing a trumpet. It's a different day because they do the Rosh Chodesh a different day.
Boo.
Huh?
Boo.
Oh, boo. I thought you said who.
Okay.
But anyway, the memorial of blowing the trumpets to me is it's a day to really consider and that in the seventh month, the first day of the month, we're going to have a Sabbath. That's what we're trying to tell that guy this morning on the phone. Whew, that was a terrible conversation. We had to hang up. It's a memorial blowing trumpets. It's a holy convocation. It says right there, it's a Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
There it is right there. Lechem Shabbaton. So to you, plural, it's going to be a Sabbath. Zichron Teruah. I don't get it. You can read that in English or the Hebrew or any way, But you're not supposed to do any work today. It's going to be, and you have to give an offering unto God. They did it by fire. Okay? Numbers 29 says the same thing. So there's lots of witnesses in the Bible. Seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. It's a sacred time to get together. You shall do no civil work. It's a day of blowing of trumpets unto you. So the other one says it's a memorial. This one says it's a blowing of trumpets unto you, right? It's always a lo ta'asu. Don't do it. No work. God has to command us not to work. That almost sounds crazy. And of course, he goes right into the offerings right here. You shall all these offerings that they gave, sweet savor unto Jehovah, one young bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without blemish. So just think, if you were back in those days, you'd have to have your property, you have to have property, first of all, and then you have to have animals that are like, that batch over there is going to be the first, let's see, they're going to be the lambs of the first year. We're going to put those all over there. These are the lambs that are older. You'd have to really separate it because you get all mixed up after a while, right? And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3 tenth deals for a bullock and 2 tenth deals for a ram, and 1 tenth deal for a lamb throughout the 7 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. And in the Day of Atonement, there's 2 goats, right? Beside the burnt offering of the month. This is now, besides all that, you're supposed to have your some kind of food offerings to God, and the daily your daily burnt offering, and your their food meat offering, and their drink offerings, and according unto their manner, for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto Jehovah. So let's read some trumpets that we should remember, because this is a day of trumpets. We might have to blow. Oh, did we even blow the trumpet?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. You did. But it seems so quiet. I feel like it seems like I need to hear some more trumpets. All right.
There we go. I guess we did it again.
I wasn't expecting.
You scared all the way back.
Sounded a little quiet there. That's good. Okay, in the 3rd month, what month is that?
Sivan.
When the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, right? They're in that wilderness. I always think in the wilderness, you wouldn't think too many things would go wrong, because there's not a lot to, not a lot to tempt you there. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai, and they pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God. To me, this is like, I always try to really picture this. Picture, you got to sort of like visualize like a picture of this when you're reading it. So Moses is going up to God, and Jehovah called unto him out of the mount, saying, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, this is all he wanted. If you obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a segula, a peculiar people, like a gem, you know, jewel of price, unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. And that's why, you know, even Peter says we're priests, you know. And a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And I bet Moses came down, and he went and called the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which Jehovah commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, I mean, what else would you say? All that Jehovah had spoken, we will do.
Yeah.
And Moses returned the words of the people unto Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Moses, lo, here's how he comes. I come unto you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear. They're actually going to hear when I speak with you. That's never happened again. And believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Oh, here they are washing their clothes. We want you to be clean inside and out. And be ready against the 3rd day, for the 3rd day. Now this is Jehovah talking. He says, the 3rd day, Jehovah is going to come down. He didn't say I was going to come down. He said the third day Yehovah is going to come down. So that's a plurality of God that we have to try to grasp. It says the third day will Yehovah come down in the sight of the people and upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. You know where I would be? Far away from there. I'd be so scared. If I was there right now, I'd be so scared that it says, there shall not a hand touch it, but shall it will be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day, and this is very symbolic, in the morning, that there was thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount. And I don't know what, but there was a voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. I always wonder who was blowing it. Whew. So that all the people, and I'm one of these guys, all the people that were in the camp trembled. That was a frightening thing. Their knees were frightened. I mean, could you actually imagine hearing the voice of God? And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. I bet they did. and the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because Yehovah descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. So try to picture all that, you know. Picture like a million people there, and all these people there, and before you is this mount, and this thing's all, you know. And then Moses must have got nervous. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. And Yehovah came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and Yehovah called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Now we're talking about somebody who created the whole universe that can actually show up in a form and talk to you, and you're going to go talk to him. That's just beyond my grasp. And Yehovah said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Yehovah. Jehovah's talking. He didn't say, unless they gaze unto me. He goes, Yehovah said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Yehovah to gaze, and many of them perish. He says, and let the priests also which come near to Yehovah sanctify themselves. Listen to this. Lest Yehovah break forth upon them. My clothes would be so washed, they'd be worn out. And Moses said unto Yehovah, this is the, Moses must have been so scared, and I don't blame him. This part always gets me. And Moses said unto Yehovah, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for you charged us, saying, set bounds around the mountain, sanctify it. And Yehovah said unto him, away! Get thee down! And thou shalt, I mean, I must have been, I would have fainted right there. He said, away. Talk about, you know, you just don't understand what I'm saying, basically. He goes, away, get thee down, and you shall come up, you and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest, the people, break through to come up unto Yehovah, lest he, not me, lest he break forth upon them. That's a plurality of God big time right there. Do you see that? That's frightening. So these priests weren't high priests. They couldn't go near up there. See that? Make sure they stay down. Get them down. And Moses went down unto the people and spoke unto them. I bet he did. I'd be going, blah, 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 blah. I would have been speaking really. Anyway. Now, here's another trumpet I think we should remember. So this is the trumpet I think we're trying to be remembering, because when the trumpet sounded, the Lord came down. We believe in the future, the trumpet's going to sound again, and the Lord is going to come back. So that's the trumpet. That's why we rehearse this today. So here's a trumpet right now, the blowing of trumpets. Joshua is also called Yeshua. Did you ever notice that? In the book of Nehemiah. And all the congregation of them that were come out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Yeshua, bin Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And it was a very great gladness. So, Joshua is always a type of Messiah, a picture. And this is also, this chapter is all about the end of the world. A picture about the, I don't know if you ever knew that Joshua 6 is a picture of the end of the world, but it really is, if the more I read it. It's a shadow of the end time. And we'll read it to you. I'll read it to you. Now Jericho was straitly shut up before the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And Yehovah said unto Joshua, Yehoshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall go and ye shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So for 6 days, they're going to go around the city once. And I have no idea what the people thought, because the whole army of Joshua, they were going around a city. It'd be like everybody going around the city of wherever city you're in. 6 days, one time. Now, check this out. And 7 priests, which is very symbolic, shall bear the ark, shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. That's what those are, I hope. Ram's horns. And the seventh day, ye shall compass the city 7 times. So if you don't think the number 7 is important, you need better eyeglasses. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets.
Yes.
Right? So on the 7th day, they're going to go around the city 7 times. Picture 7 times. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him, just like it talks about in Thessalonians, which we'll read later. And Joshua, the son of Nun, it's not Nun, it's Nun, you know, Nun don't sound right, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of Yehovah. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of Jehovah. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before Jehovah and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of Jehovah followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward, how do you say that? Rearward, I can't say it. Can't say it. It's hard to say it with my New York accent. Came after the ark, and the priests going on and blew with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then you should shout. So for 7 days, they couldn't say nothing. Right? And for, wow, every time they went around. So the ark of Jehovah compassed the city, going about it once, and they came unto the camp and lodged in the camp. So the people must be going, what are these guys doing? Try to picture that. Somebody going around, you see a whole army going around. What are they doing? And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of Yehovah, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of Yehovah went on continually, and they blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rearward came after the ark of Yehovah, the priests going on blowing with the trumpets. Right? And on the second day they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp. So they did it for 6 days. Right? So they must have thought, what's going on here? The people, armies going around the city blowing trumpets. And it came to pass on the seventh day. So one of these days was the Sabbath, huh? When God tells you to do something, it's not breaking the Sabbath. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout! For Jehovah had given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to Jehovah. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she had hid the messengers that were sent. And you, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. We know some people did that, right? But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto Yehovah. They shall come into the treasury of Yehovah. And the reason why they could take this, because it wasn't dedicated to any pagan god. If that was dedicated to a pagan god, they could never do that. They would have to burn the whole place up. So the people shouted with the priests. The people even shouted with the priests and blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city. Just like one day we're going to go up into the city of New Jerusalem. And every man, into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And I hope we take the city too. And they utterly destroyed all that were in the city, both man and woman. That's what's going to happen in the end of the world. Young and old, ox, sheep, ass, with the edge of the sword, the sinners are lost again. Sinners always lose. Sometimes it looks like they don't lose, you know. Sometimes it looks like they're prospering, but they lose one day, at one time. So Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she had, as you swear unto her. Just think, he had to remember that during the whole thing. Imagine trying to remember that when they're going around the city seven times and all the stuff's going on, blowing trumpets. And then you have to remember. He couldn't forget that. And the young men that were spies went in and brought Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred. Wow. And everybody. And left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt. Just like the end of the world is going to be burnt. And they burnt the city with fire. In the end, the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat in someone's lifetime. And all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and all the people that do good are going to be left. And they're going to be put in the treasure house of Yehovah, only the people that do good and keep the commandments. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel. She joined the Israel of God even unto this day, because she had hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before Yehovah that raised it up and built it, that this city Jericho, he shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his younger son shall he set up the gates thereof. And that actually happened. That actually came to pass. So Yehovah was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. So there's trumpets right there and a whole picture of the end of the world. So remember this trumpet. The Lord himself again shall descend from heaven, and we shall rise and be changed. Amen. Paul, Shaul, tells us, behold, I show you a mystery, and it is a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that means die, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and there's that trumpet that we're rehearsing, for the trumpet's going to sound, and you know the ones that are sleeping, see it says, and the dead shall be raised. They were dead, but they're going to be changed. The bodies that were in the ground are going to come back into an incorruptible body, and dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, because there's no more death. O death, where is your sting? There is none. O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the Torah. Amen. Tells you what sin is, right? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Wherefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All the other labor we do is just for our mouths, to put a roof over our head and feed, you know. But only what you do for the Lord is going to last. Everything else is going to be, God's not going to ask you what was your profession, you know. So, Shaul tells us, and it is a mystery because, you know what's a mystery about is because picture all the people that's ever died, their little dust, their bodies go back to the dust, and their spirit went back to God. So it's a mystery how their spirit and that wherever their dust is going to get together and form a new body. And that's supernatural, beyond our imagination. It's a big time mystery. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, concerning them that are asleep, the ones that are dead. Don't worry about the ones that the brothers and sisters have died before us. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Believe me, they got plenty of hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep are dead in Yeshua will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, means go before, them which are asleep. The ones that are dead. We're not going to, whoever's alive at the time of the coming of the Lord, think about it. The ones that at the time, whenever that is, the coming of the Lord's going to descend from heaven. The dead, wherever they are, they're going to rise first. And whoever's alive at that time, they're going to meet the Lord together in the air and be changed. That's going to be it's just amazing. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Messiah, see, they're dead, they're not just sleeping, the dead in Messiah shall rise first. They're going to rise first, because you're still alive, so as they're rising first, and then they're going to meet you, that's going to be unbelievable. It says, then we which are alive, whoever's alive at that time, and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall you ever be with the Lord. Doesn't that sound victorious? Huh?
I always did want to fly.
Well, you're going to have an incorruptible body. Wherefore, and this is a comfort, wherefore comfort one another with these words. That is a comfort, huh? And these are all the trumpets that we want to be remembering today, the memorial of blowing the trumpet, because that trumpet when the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai and the trumpets in chapter 6 of Joshua about the end of the world and these trumpets here all through the Gospels and epistles about the Lord coming back with a shout and the sound of a trumpet. That should be enough to get your attention, huh?
Yeah.
Matthew says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn. Of course they are. Because all the people that didn't believe, and all of a sudden they're going to see the heavens are going to split open. They're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. And, you know, it's going to be, talk about being shocked out of your mind. This is going to happen in someone's lifetime. Can you believe that? It's hard to believe, huh? But the only way you can believe it is, as it was in the days of Noah, which we'll read, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. You know why? Because they're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he's going to send his angels with the great sound of a what?
Trumpet.
And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. So to believe that, you have to always believe Noah. He goes right into the little Noah story. But as the days of Noah were, the earth was corrupt, you know. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came, the people didn't know it, and took them all away, all the wicked. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be a pretty frightening thing. So if you ever want to know the end of the world, you always have to read the beginning. Two shall be in the field, the one taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, right? You don't know when he's, you know, you might, probably most of us will probably meet the Lord before he comes back. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour you think not the Son of Man comes. Whew. That's pretty. So in closing, I hope you got something out of my little memorial of blowing the trumpet talk today. There's the dates that are left. Remember, October is different than Ha'etanim. Right?
Yes.
And there's the dates that are left. Okay? Those are the dates that are left. May Yah bless you today and be with you and make you be watchful. You never know when you're going to meet the Lord. Anyway, God bless you and may God be with you. Shalom. So I'll stop this and I will stop the...